And like Rev said this morning, understanding. You know, part of the reason folks are driving the way they are is because they need to. Maybe their reactions aren't as quick as ours. Maybe they're right? I see all the nods of the heads over here, right? So, hey, be understanding with those folks. And now, look, if they're ignorant, they're on their phone, and they're not paying attention, they're swerving left and right, I get it. I get the frustration there. But at the same time, keep your distance, keep your cool, keep your Christianity, don't lose it. Don't try to threaten people and beat them up at Wawa. Y'all just be nice, and y'all be mindful. Rev, I don't want to hear about any fights from between now and Jersey, okay? I don't want to hear any fights.
Do my best.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again for Rev dealing with me in the Sunday school hour. You tell me, brother, when I'm done, okay? When it's time to end the service, you just tell me. For those of you that weren't here, Rev said, how much time do I have? And I said, I didn't know what else to say. And I looked at the clock and I said, you're done. Perfect. He's never been so embarrassed in his life over some preacher telling him he was done. I apologize. Forgive me for the disrespect. It wasn't intentional. I just didn't know what else to say. So anyway, let's get into preaching this morning. We'll forget about all that. Colossians 3, let me pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you again for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Lord, I never want to take a minute and not be thankful for that. Father, I know what I deserve. I know hell is where I deserve to be. Father, I know that the life in which I have is a blessing. Lord, I don't take that for granted. Lord, help me to not be obnoxious about it. Help me to be more thankful than I am today. And I think I'm pretty thankful for now. But Lord, help me to be even more thankful, even more grateful. Father, as I just sit and think and I ponder about all the folks that are missing a good service like this morning. Maybe by choice, Lord, maybe some not by choice. Maybe they weren't able to be here this morning for one reason or another. But they missed the good service so far. They've missed a good special. They've missed the Bible. They've missed good interaction with other Christians. And Lord, I can't help but think about that this morning. Just being thankful for having a good church. Being thankful for having a good place that I can come and be around your word. Not be scared, not be nervous that somebody's going to shut us down or somebody's going to interrupt us or persecute us, Lord, by being around your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for being an American. I thank you, Lord, for being alive in this generation, in this time and age in which you've put me here. And Father, I pray now that you bless what's said and done. Father, would you please reign supreme through the words this morning. And Lord, Holy Spirit, deal with the hearts today, I pray. Help me, I pray, to learn more from thee. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Most folks don't know and don't understand Thanksgiving and where it came from. Now, a lot of us would understand that Thanksgiving came from the Pilgrims and the Indians. And that's right. But most folks don't understand because the public schools aren't teaching any longer what it was all about. And they're just kind of saying, well, some settlers came over from England and they decided to settle there in Plymouth Rock and the Indians and the Squanto and all that other good stuff. And they don't share the whole story. And I'm not here. I'm not a historian this morning, so I don't have all the facts for you. I'm sure I might butcher a fact or two. But if you'll forgive me for the sake of the illustration, I just want to give you a little backdrop to this whole Thanksgiving thing. See, over in Scrooby, England, there was a group of settlers. There was about 20 to 25 of them that were being persecuted because they wanted a one-world type religion in that area. The Anglican Church was going, they were forcing people to live a certain way at a certain time, but it wasn't biblical. It was more so organized by man than it was by God. Well, there were some men there, that there was a preacher there, and I forget his name. I think it was John Robinson. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I could have that wrong. But there was a group of settlers there that said, look, we need to find a way to get to the new world. We need to get away from this so that we can have personal opportunity to serve the Lord the way the Lord would have us to do so. And we want to find a way to get to the new world to do that. So they started to arrange this all. They started to put it all together. The Pilgrims set sail to the new world on a boat called the Speedwell. Now, most of us know about the Mayflower. Who's ever heard of the Mayflower? Mm-hmm. Right? And the Mayflower was there, but it was right alongside the Speedwell. See, they didn't first get on the Mayflower. The Mayflower was coming to the New World, and so was the Speedwell, but these settlers were on the boat Speedwell. They were not on the Mayflower. Well, what happened was, as they got out to sea, they were about 300 nautical miles into the sea, and the Speedwell started taking on water. The Speedwell wasn't going to make the trip. It still had several hundred miles to go, and it wasn't going to make it. So they went to a port at Dartmouth. And when they went to Dartmouth, they tried to make the repairs on the Speedwell so that the Speedwell could continue to make the trip to the New World. They made some repairs. They got back on the boat. They started on the journey again. They were about 7 days into the journey at this point. sure enough, they started getting on, and as they started getting on, the boat started taking on water again. They had to stop where they were, turn around, and go back to Dartmouth. Now, after all is said and done, they're 16 days into the trip and still several hundred miles away from the brand new world. They were shooting for a place called Virginia, which, if you didn't know it, is our modern-day New York City. It was not Virginia, or our Virginia is not the Virginia that they knew then. Virginia was New York City, and they were going for the Hudson River area. They were going for the Statue of Liberty, which now says our Statue of Liberty area. That was what their aim was. But because of all the sea, because of the rough seas and because of the storms and all, that's not where they ended up. So when they got on the Speedwell, when they got back to Dartmouth the second time, the Speedwell was not able to be repaired properly. So the ones that were on the Speedwell had a choice now. They could choose to go back to England where they were, or they could take the journey on this tight, tiny ship called the Mayflower. There was about 20 folks in all that decided they weren't going to take the trip and they went back to England. They didn't even come to the New World. But now there were 102 people on the Mayflower headed over to the brand new world. 102 people. They did not have enough food. They only had enough food to go one way or the other. They only had enough nourishment. They only had enough facilities to go one way or the other. Either you're going all out and you're going to the new world, or you're going home and we're not going again for several years. So these folks decided to take the risk and to take the journey and hop onto the Mayflower. And so the Mayflower, with about 60 days left of travel, they got on the Mayflower to join in, and they were on their way. Along this way, they were facing storms, they were facing rough times. It wasn't comfortable, it was tight quarters. I don't know if you've ever been on any of them ships that are at the harbor there in Baltimore. You can climb on some of them old ships up there, even down in St. Mary City. If you see how they were had to sleep, they literally were overlapping one another to sit on them ships. And there was 102 of these folks, women and children, who had diseases and plagues and all this other stuff, but they were fighting to get to the new world. Well, the Christians, the God-fearing people, were doing nothing but praying the entire time. When they got on that boat, the settlers from Scrooby, England, brought printing press, 200 books, and the Bible. That's what they brought. They didn't have a cooler full of food. They didn't have a suitcase full of luggage. They brought stuff for the printing press. They brought stuff for 200 books, and they brought the textbook of the Bible. Their intention was they were going to teach in public schools the Bible. The main textbook was going to be the Bible. It wasn't going to be the doctrine of England. It wasn't going to be the doctrine of King James, not King James Bible, but King James himself. It wasn't going to be the doctrine of the Anglican Church. Their textbook was going to be the Bible. So, with that being said, they got on their journey. They stayed long, and as they were halfway through their journey, they started to pray a whole lot. And as they started to pray a whole lot, because they were nervous, because they were anxious, because they were worried, the captain of the ship started to ridicule them. The captain of the ship started to mock them. He started to make fun of them. And as he started to mock them and make fun of them, those Christians just continued to pray and continued to pray and continued to pray, and they were being persecuted by this captain. Well, about 3 days into this man persecuting these Christians, he all of a sudden, for some reason or another, came down with a fever. And this man died on the ship. And those Christians, from that day forward, not one more time were mocked for their journey from that time until they arrived to the New World. The first body to pass on this ship was the captain that was mocking the Christians. Now, as those Christians arrived, they finally arrived to the shores of Cape Cod. When they arrived to the shores of Cape Cod, remember, this is not their goal. They were not going to go, they were not trying to arrive at Cape Cod. They were trying to arrive down to Virginia, which is our modern-day New York City. Well, like I said, the storms had pushed them off to the side, and they were further north than what they were aiming for. Well, they still wanted to get down to Virginia. They didn't want to stop at Cape Cod, so what they decided to do was, now that we've arrived to the New World, let's go ahead and head down to the port, which we wanted to hit, down in Virginia, and let's go ahead and hit the waters again. Well, when they did, this now added another 30 days. It's not very long between Cape Cod and New York if you look at it today. It's not a very far distance, but it would take them another 30 days because they would get down and they'd have to go back. And they'd get down and they couldn't make it anymore. They'd have to turn around. And several times they were just lulled out in the middle of the ocean trying to get to this harbor. in New York City. And finally, they gave up. And they went back to Cape Cod. And this is where they came to Plymouth Rock. They first came to Cape Cod, and they first came to the Plymouth Rock, but that's not where they wanted to be. That's not where they wanted to settle. But the Lord would have it, and I'll show you why in just a second, the Lord would have it that Plymouth Rock was the place to be. And here's why. As they got back to Plymouth Rock, they came on the shore, and all these folks were getting off of the Mayflower and starting to find their way to, and now, mind you, they've arrived now around December 20th. I don't know about you, but in the north on December, it's cold. It might have been some snow on the ground, might have been a little ice in the water. I don't know. I don't see. I mean, I'm sure if you look at the pictures or the history books, they might tell you what the weather was like. But I know this, Massachusetts in December ain't fun. I've been to Massachusetts before, and I think we were in June cold. I mean, we were in June, and it was chilly. You had to have a jacket in June, let alone December. So anyway, so they're settling, and they're coming ashore, and as they spend several days on land there, they start to dwell they start to work their way inland, and they find a lake. And they find this lake, and this lake had been cleared out, almost like as if the hand of God had wiped out a group of trees and settled a group of land right here by this lake. It just so happens that they come to find out later that this used to be a plantation for Indians, for Native Americans, that had died of a plague. Their entire tribe was wiped out from a plague. So everything was already set up. The trees were cleared out. There were huts. There were different. There was agriculture prepared. There was places for their harvest. And this was December that they were arriving, that they're figuring all this out. Naturally, you can't plant anything in December. Have you ever tried? It doesn't work, right? So they're now encouraged and excited, and they didn't even realize the hand of God and what he had done to prepare a place for them. Remember, they wanted to go down to Virginia, which was New York City, but they couldn't make it, so they had to come back to Plymouth. And it just so happens that God had a place prepared for them.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in that prepared place for them, these settlers who wanted to settle on Christianity, who wanted to settle on the Bible, who didn't want to settle on the Anglican Church and their desires, who didn't want to serve some king that wasn't godly, they wanted to serve a king who was godly, God himself. This was their whole intent, their whole purpose was to teach their kids how to live right in the Lord. How to rear a family right in the Lord. How to serve the Lord through the Bible. So as this is happening, you need food, you need nourishment, you need a way to survive. So come springtime, they decided that they were going to plant some things as they should. And they were excited come harvest time that it had actually all worked out the way that they had hoped. And they realized that God had cared for them in a number of ways. They were thankful and they were grateful at God's provision, A, for the safety, because remember the Speedwell wasn't going to make the trip. It didn't sink on them, right? So then they had to turn around and they were able to get on the Mayflower. And then in the Mayflower, they dealt with all these storms and they dealt with all these high waves and the swells and all that other good stuff. And they dealt with sickness and they dealt with this captain dying and they dealt with all these things to get across to the New World. And then they couldn't even go to where they wanted to go. They ended up being where God wanted them to be. So they realize, and as they sit back and they put it all together, and they're extremely thankful for the way that God providentially put it all together. The divine intervention that God put it all together. And so they were thankful. So when they planted all these crops, and these crops actually came to be, if you read the history books, it wasn't something that was like an overwhelming amount of food. It was just enough food. Now, most of us are going to be gluttons come Thursday. Let's just be honest here. Most of us are going to eat as much as we can until we have room up to our neck, and then we save the neck for the chocolate cake. Right? That's about the way it goes on Thursday when it comes Thanksgiving time. You're just thankful. You're just excited for that food. That, boy, I'll tell you what, that nice moist turkey with some gravy on top, them nice ripe mashed potatoes, them good, soft, creamy mashed potatoes, maybe just a little small clump in there, not real big clumps, but just a little small clump that you can feel the warmth in your mouth with the butter, right? And you got the salt and the chives and the pepper and all that good stuff. And you can smell on the horizon, you got pumpkin pie sitting over there after dinner, right? You got some good greens and maybe some macaroni and cheese or some sweet potato casserole, or you got green bean casserole, and you got the little crispy onions on top, right? The little fried onions or the French onions on top. Get enough of the crunch, right? And it's not real good soggy, but it's real good when it's fresh and crisp. And you got the nice warm rolls, and we're just going to eat ourselves to death for the most part and take a nap afterwards. But they didn't have all that back then. They just had just enough. But they were so thankful. And what happened was they did get some of the Native Americans together. They did get all these pilgrims together. And they had a feast of thanks to the Lord. Amen. Now, we know that that's history books, and we know that there's probably more to the story than that. And there are probably some unpleasant situations. There was probably some unpleasant conversations. There was probably some fighting that they had to do in order to be able to defend themselves and maybe take on the new land. I'm not getting into all that this morning. What I'm getting into is there was a group of people who wanted to serve the Lord, who wanted to find a way to get away from everything else and get to serving the Lord for their life. And God divinely worked it all out, and they were thankful.
Amen.
And they were thankful. So I say all that, and I can't help but think for myself, it reminds me of when a sinner gets saved. You know, when those settlers were over in England, they didn't know much better about the New World. They only hoped the New World would be better. All they heard was good stories about the New World. All they heard was how nice it was and how pleasant it was and how plentiful it was. And all they could hear were stories about it, but they had not participated in it for themselves just yet. And in Christianity, the same thing. I look out, and as an unsaved person looking in, I say, man, I might, you know, I think I might like to have that. And man, I might like salvation right there. Man, I might like to be a part of that thing because, man, that's got to be good right there. That's like a taste of heaven on earth, isn't it? Man, I want a little bit of that, but I had not experienced it yet until I experienced it for myself. Now, when you get saved, when you start doing right, there's some battles that you face.
Amen.
Hey, there's some struggles inside of you. Hey, there's some things that I ought not do anymore the way that I used to do them. There's a way I used to talk that I ought not talk that way anymore. Amen. There's some places that I used to go that I probably shouldn't go to any longer. And there's some Amen. Struggle in there. There's some battle in there between ourselves. But what we have to remember and keep in mind is that the destination is worth it.
Amen.
Just like these settlers had to remind themselves that the destination was worth it. The destination was worth the waves. The destination was worth the struggle. The destination was worth all the time spent. And remember, they didn't have anything. All their possessions were done and gone. They didn't have furniture. They didn't have a bed. They didn't have a pocket full of money. Who were they going to give the money to? They didn't have anything but themselves and their Bible, their printing press, and 200 books. So it's a sinner who comes to Christ and says, I want that destination. And then there's a battle that takes place in between them. Remember a few weeks ago when I preached about saved but not converted. You can be saved and accept Christ and not converted to live for Christ. You can follow Christ and still not live for Christ. There's a difference. The disciples followed him afar off. Remember, they looked for him and they saw him and they followed him a little bit, but they hadn't changed their life for him yet. And God wants us to get to the point where we change our lives for him and we start living for him, not just living with him. There's a Amen. Difference. There's a difference. So I think about salvation. They had some rough patches, a journey to get along for a while. The Lord makes the necessary changes to get them to their destination. And much like those Christians and those pilgrims, the Lord has providentially helped us arrive to our destination in our life. And he's helped me do the same this morning. So this morning, I want to preach to you a little bit on why I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful, first of all, for good parents.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not just saying Amen. That because my mom is here this morning. I'm saying that for a reason. I'm thankful for good parents. I'm thankful that my daddy gave me a whooping when I needed it.
Amen.
I'm thankful that my daddy didn't let me hang out on the street corner with the bums when I wanted to. I'm thankful that when I brought home some girl that I thought was cute and attractive, my dad said, you better get her out this house or I'm going to kick you out this house. One way or the other, y'all ain't staying here.
Amen.
And I'm glad he did that for me. Why? Because he saved me from some dumbness. He saved me from stupidity because I was young and stupid. I didn't know it all. You 16-year-olds don't know it all. You 14-year-olds certainly don't know it all. You 12-year-olds ain't even learned how to tie your shoes yet, let alone pick who you want to date. Right? So think about all that. Now, I'm thankful for good parents. I'm thankful for parents who worked hard. I'm thankful for parents who woke up and went to work every day. And I'm thankful for parents who didn't just accept what was given to them. They fought hard to give their kids a good upbringing.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all they did. I'm thankful that they kept grinding to provide. I'm thankful that they stuck together through tough times. I'm thankful that they've been together 38 years.
Amen.
38 years. And this is the couple that the family said wasn't going to make it. But every other couple in the family ain't together no more except that one.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, praise God for good parents.
Amen.
Praise God for a good upbringing.
Amen. Praise
God they fought hard to put our family in a position to give their boys a decent foundation. I think they've done a decent job.
Amen.
Looking at my brother, he ain't a half bad guy. He ain't committed murder yet, so that's good. I thank God for a good family. I thank God for a good wife and good kids. I thank God for what he's providentially provided me, what he's divinely provided me. I thank God that he saved me from my stupidity and put me in a good spot to have a good wife and good kids. Hey, I've had opportunities to mess up. I've had opportunities to choose wrong. I've had opportunities to do some pretty dumb things. And it's been the hand of God that's kept me from making those stupid decisions.
Amen.
Hey, just like any other man, I've had my opportunities to mess my marriage up, but I've chosen not to do it.
Amen.
I've had an opportunity to abandon my kids when things got tough, but I've chosen not to do it. Amen? Amen. I praise God for what he's provided me. I praise God for the good wife and the good kids. Hey, them kids Amen. Are special for me.
Amen.
Hey, my God knows I couldn't have handled any bad kids because I'd have whooped a fire at them. So he had to give me good kids so I didn't have to whoop them all that much. My temper ain't all that great to be handling with some bad kids. So he gave me good kids so I wouldn't have to go to jail and be able to serve you guys. But good family. I got loving family. I got a supportive family. I've got servants in my family. They're helpful. They're trusting. They're obedient. They love the Lord. They trust the Lord.
Amen.
They work hard to do well for you in a church when they don't have to. They're not getting paid.
Amen.
But they choose to love and they choose to serve. I praise God for what he's provided me.
Amen.
I praise God for good parents. I praise God for a good family. And I'm thankful for my salvation.
Amen.
I'm thankful the way he divinely intervened in my life. I'm thankful for a plan well thought out and well prepared by my God for me. I'm thankful that it's a complete plan. I'm thankful that it's a finished plan. I'm thankful that it's a secure plan. I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Like Dr. Daryl Cox said, I'm so saved I can swing out over hell on a rotten cornstalk, sing an Amazing Grace, spit in the devil's eye, and there's nothing he could do about it.
Amen.
And that's not my saying, that's Dr. Daryl Cox, so don't give me credit. But it's true. Think about a rotten cornstalk. You can swing out over hell on that thing and you're saved, brother. You're not going there if you know Christ is your Savior. There's no way you could go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for my salvation this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I'm justified just as if I'd never sinned. I'm saved. When God looks down on me, he does not see my lies. He does not see my manipulation. He does not see my adultery. He does not see my cheating. He does not see my theft. He does not see my rape. He does not see my sin. No matter how bad the sin is, he doesn't see that.
Amen.
He sees the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And says, just as if you'd never sinned. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for my salvation. It's time Christians start living thankful for their salvation.
Amen.
Stop spitting in God's eyes and stop telling God that you don't appreciate what he's done for you and start living a life that shows him you're thankful for what he's provided for you.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for the grace. I'm thankful for the grace of ignorance. God would be justified to send me to hell.
Amen.
But he chooses not to see it. How many times you've seen somebody do wrong and you messed up? You done wrong right there. Hey, don't do that. Now, hey, not right. God doesn't do that to you. God says, just as if you'd never sinned. God says, covered by the blood. God says, I'll see you in heaven with me someday. Sometimes we ought to look by some people doing some wrong things a little bit. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. I'm not saying look past sin. I'm not saying don't call the cops if somebody's committing murder. That's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying to you is them little things, give a little bit of grace sometimes. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. Think about all the grace God gives you.
Amen.
Hey, that's really good for spouses. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. Well, she didn't do this, and she didn't do that, and he didn't do this, and he didn't help me with that. Well, he wasn't doing this. All he did was sit in the recliner and watch TV all night while I slaved in the living room. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. Give a little bit of grace sometimes. But then, fellas, on the flip side of that, understand the grace that's been provided. Get off your duff and help.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
When the Lord's provided a little bit of grace, okay, let that be motivation to us. Not let's just, I'm saved. Praise God, that was good food. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to bed. No. Be thankful for what you got. Be thankful for what's been provided.
Amen.
And get busy loving the Lord through your spouse. You love the Lord through your spouse. You can love the Lord through your children. You can love the Lord through your coworkers and your colleagues. You can love the Lord through your neighbors. You love the Lord this way.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my salvation, secure, beginning to end. I'm thankful for my Bible.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my roadmap. I'm thankful that it's definitive. I'm thankful that it's flawless. I'm thankful that it's perfect. I'm thankful that it's complete. I'm thankful that it's preserved and inspired by the breath of God. I'm thankful that there's comfort in it. I'm thankful that I can find joy in it, that I can find peace in it, that I can find understanding in it. I praise God that there's illumination in it. I praise God that it's a strong tower of defense for my life.
Amen.
This Bible, remember this book, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book.
Amen.
If you're not reading it, you're probably sinning a good amount.
Amen.
But if you're staying close to it, I would imagine you're staying pretty close to God. You ain't sinning a whole lot. And when you do sin, he brings it to light. When you do sin, he lights that path up and says, That little, you've seen the television and the cartoon shows. You got the angel on the one side and the devil on the other. Right? Mm-hmm. Remember, you got your flesh. Well, how does the flesh win or how does the spirit win? Depends on which one you feed more. Right? If you're doing nothing but watching junk on TV, you're doing nothing but listening to junk on the radio, you're doing nothing but cussing and fussing because your neighbors and your husband's cussing and fussing, you're doing nothing but being unappreciative and unthankful, well, guess what's winning? Your flesh is winning.
Amen.
But if you spend time giving grace, and you spend time giving mercy, and you spend time giving understanding, and you spend time reading your word, and you spend time in prayer, and you spend time loving people, well, guess which one's going to get fed more now? Your spirit. Naturally. So I praise God for my Bible. I praise God that it keeps me out of trouble. I praise God that it's a solid rock, a foundation. Hey, this right here is stable. This right here ain't changing. This right here, you know how them PCs and them computers change every 6 months? You know it, because you get aggravated when you got to buy an upgrade and all that other good stuff, and it doesn't work the way you thought it was going to work. And they say, oh, well, you need this. Well, I just bought the thing. Well, it's 2 years old, and because it's 2 years old, now you need to buy this. God doesn't change.
Amen.
Everything you ever needed to know is sitting right here. Hey, you need to know how to get over depression? It's found in here. Hey, you need to know how to get through a tough time financially? It's found in here. Hey, you need to get through a tough time when you're fighting with your spouse or you're fighting with a family member? It's found right here. Hey, you're trying to figure out how to do better in your life and how to get the path straightened out and how to get things correct and why things always failing in my life and why everywhere I go things are all messed up and things are broken and things they fixed. Hey, God's got the answer in here, and I'm glad he's got the answer in here.
Amen.
But guess what? We got to read it.
Amen.
Hey, guess what? We got to be in a place to hear it taught. Hey, guess what? Not only do we have to hear it, but we've got to apply it. Amen? So the Bible can be everything it is. It's like having a shiny new car and you don't drive it. What point is that? I don't understand all these nice fancy cars sitting in the driveway collecting dust for 3 years. What point is that? Just so your friends can look at it. Hey, if I got a nice shiny hot rod, brother, I want to drive it. I want to put the top down and I want to cruise down the road, whatever it feels. The breeze through all my non-hair, right? Right, Steve? Feel the breeze through your head, huh? I want to appreciate what I've been given. Hey, this Bible, it's so precious. This Bible is so informational. This Bible is so life-altering, but yet we look at it and say, let me make sure I bring it on Sunday. We say, well, hon, you see my Bible? Well, where'd you put it when you got home last Sunday? Huh? That's how we spend our lives. We're not thankful for the Bible.
Amen.
We're not appreciative for it, appreciative of it. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for, I've had the moment. I forgot what I was saying. I'm thankful for my parents. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my Bible. I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior. I'm thankful for a merciful, loving, kind King. I'm thankful for a kind Creator. I'm thankful for a Master, the Great I Am. I'm thankful for a Justifier, a Cleanser, a Redeemer, a Fulfiller of Promises. I'm thankful for my Savior this morning. And I'm going to try my best to live my life showing God how thankful I am for the Savior in which He's provided me. I'm going to try my best to live a life that would be honoring to Him. I'm going to try my best to live a life that would show Him that I'm appreciative of Him. I'm going to live my life the best way I can to teach my family how to do the same. Because I'm thankful.
Amen.
And not only is it because I'm thankful, but I told you before, the most selfish thing you can do is live for God. The most selfish thing you can do is live for God, because God takes care of His kids. Hey, God provides for you. God
Amen.
Provides for His children. If you want to be selfish, live for God and you will be provided for. I have been old and young, but yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
The righteous have never been forsaken. I'm thankful for the Rock of Ages. I'm thankful for Christ being time Himself. knew us before we were, knew us before we knew ourselves. He loved me before I loved myself. He prepared a way for me when I didn't have no way. I'm thankful for a Savior who knows me. I'm thankful for a Savior who's personal to me. I'm thankful for a Savior who loves me unconditionally.
Amen.
I'm thankful for my Savior this morning. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful that our church is healthy. I'm thankful that our church is stable. I'm thankful that our church is sturdy. I'm thankful that we have a church that preaches the Word of God, that teaches the Word of God. I'm thankful that we've had souls saved in our church in the last year. I'm thankful for the men of our church. I'm thankful for loyal men of the church. I'm thankful for faithful men of this church, strong men of this church, supportive men of this church, defensive men of this church. I'm thankful for the men of our church. I'll stand with the men of the church. I'll defend the men of the church, and I would ask that you do the same for the pastor. Amen?
Amen?
I'm thankful for the women of the church. I'm thankful for the ladies who are loving, the servants of the church who are caring, they're nurturing, they're friendly. I'm thankful for all the work that they've done, Amen. All the times in which they've gotten involved, all the times in which they've gotten their hands dirty to try to serve the Lord through our church. I'm Amen. Thankful for our church. Hey, I'm thankful that the Francis family kept this church going when it didn't deserve to keep going. I'm thankful that this place without a pastor for almost 3 years to the day. I'm thankful for people who decided not to close the doors a long time ago. I'm appreciative of those things. I'm thankful for their trust in me to call on me as their pastor. I'm thankful and I'll defend them. I'll protect them. I'll guide them. I'll lead them. I'll correct them. And I'll tell you this, don't talk about it.
Amen.
Don't talk about my church folks. And I'll say the same, don't talk about me to my church folks, because I would hope my church folks will punch you in the jaw when you start talking about the pastor. Just like I'll punch you in the jaw, you start talking about my people. I'll love my people and I'll defend my people. And I want to do that, and that's right to do that. Don't criticize them, don't persuade them, and don't be a wolf in sheep's clothing on them. And I'm going to tell you this, if there's anybody outside of the church trying to persuade you to do wrong, you better tell me and don't listen to them, because there's a reason that those people ain't in church every Sunday.
Amen.
So you be mindful and you be careful and don't be thinking that they're godly. That's ungodly. When somebody starts giving you information outside of the church trying to turn you against the church, that's ungodly, not godly.
Amen.
That is not right with the Lord.
Amen.
That is not right with God. That is not right with the church. So don't be listening to them because they're going to ruin you.
Amen.
And you will be taking the poison, not the church. The church will be just fine. The church will be long and healthy, and everything will be well cared for. So don't get too nervous about that. Don't worry about the church. We're going to be all right.
Amen.
But you defend your church, and you be thankful for your church. You be proud of your church. Amen. You involve yourself in your church, and you continue to be thankful.
Amen.
I'm thankful for all the work we've done in the church. I'm thankful for the identity that we have through our logo. I'm thankful for our spirit and how welcoming we are. I'm thankful for the hours of time we've spent soul winning. I'm thankful for the roof and the siding being done, the parking lot being finished. I'm thankful for the concrete sidewalk. I'm thankful for the paint on the walls. I'm thankful for everything that we've done around this place. If you'd have seen this place 18 months ago, you would not have come back. I ain't lying to you. I'm being honest with you. Except for the handful of the 8 people that were here when I got here. 8. I think we might have had 12 on the Sunday that I candidated. And the reason was 4 people were just being nosy.
Yeah, amen.
That's all it was, right? But until my family got in here, there was 8 people on a regular basis. And half of those 8 weren't even real consistent. And now, praise the Lord, what we've done. Praise the Lord, what he's been able to do in our church. And praise the Lord, how he's used us. And it would be fitting, wouldn't it, that the folks that we've been able to reach over the last 18 months aren't even here this morning. But the Lord knew who I was talking to today, and the Lord knew who the sermon was for.
Amen.
Amen. So don't be all worried about what we don't have. Don't be all worried about what you wish we would have. Be thankful for what we do have.
Amen.
And praise the Lord for what he has given us. I'm thankful for a nation. I'm thankful for a home. I'm thankful for the conveniences of my life. I'm thankful for the luxuries in which he's provided. I'm thankful for the progress in which he's allowed us to make. I'm thankful for the mercy that he's provided. Another day, a new day. His mercy is being new every morning. The Lord has provided it, and I'm thankful.
Amen.
He is, I'm not.
Amen.
And until we start living that way, we'll never be grateful. He is, I'm not. Everything that I am, if anything that I am, is because he is who he is, not because I am who I am. And it's time for every single one of us to know that and think about that for ourselves. You are who you are because he is who he is. I'm grateful. I'm grateful he came knocking and I'm glad I answered.
Amen.
I'm thankful he came knocking and I'm glad I'm answered. He made me, he molded me, and he moved me. and he moved me. I'm going to tell you this. If you can come to a church like this and hear preaching on Sunday morning, and you're not motivated by the time you leave, something's wrong with your ticker.
Amen.
Something's wrong with your heart. Something's not right between you and the Lord, and you need to ask him to soften that thing up. Because that thing ought to be moldable like clay as it was me. Hey, when I got saved, I knew it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. And I wasn't the same man anymore. I didn't go cussing and fussing anymore. I wasn't picking the fights any longer. I wasn't going out and doing the doping and the drinking. I wasn't trying to do all the sleeping around. I wasn't trying to hurt people. Amen. I was a saved man, knew I was saved. And something changed.
Amen.
So if I come to a church service and the Lord ain't working on my heart, I've got a problem.
Amen.
I've been in the church services myself being a saved man, and the message didn't move me, and the first one down the altar has got to be me, and I say, God, something's not right. Lord, you got to stir something up in here because I'm not feeling it, and Lord, I need a change. And create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Don't be some dead Christian coming to church on Sunday morning. That is not the life God has for you. God does not have the life for you that you just come, sit in church on Sunday morning, hear the message, think about it a little bit, drive home and start everything all over the same way you did it last week. No, sir. God has plans for you this week. God has plans for you tomorrow morning. God has plans for you Wednesday morning. God has plans for you on Saturday. He's got plans for you next Sunday morning. And it's not to be the same as you were yesterday.
Amen.
He wants change in our lives. He wants to see change in our lives. He wants us to show him we're thankful and we're grateful.
Amen.
And we do that just as you expect. When you do something nice for somebody, you want them to say, thank you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. You want to be thanked. The Lord's provided you another breath. He's provided you another ground in which to walk on. He's provided you a foot in which to do it. He's provided you a brain in which to think about it. And the least you can do is say, thank you. But you know what a real good thank you is? When they show appreciation. When they show it.
Amen.
When they show it in their actions, when they show it in their love and in their kindness. If you're thankful for God this morning, show them.
Amen.
Don't just show them on Sunday. Show them on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I'm thankful this morning. Shall we all stand?